The author of Author in Chief is historian Craig Fairman. Craig, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
We're all used to the cycle now that before a campaign, there's the pre-campaign book as candidates try to introduce themselves and shape their own narratives. Every Democratic candidate, leading Democratic candidate, had a book out before the campaign. And then if they are elected after the presidency, they have their post-presidential legacy book, trying to shape their own legacy. Big blockbusters, big advances. But this isn't anything new, as you write. This goes back to the founding fathers.
That's absolutely right. The first campaign book was actually written by Thomas Jefferson. The first legacy book was written by John Adams. So in a sense, the history of presidents as writers is as old as the history of America itself.
And you write that Thomas Jefferson not only wrote the first pre-campaign book, but was also the first to be dogged by a paper trail.
Well, it caused him a lot of trouble during the election of 1800. He wrote passages about religion and why, you know, if you're living in America, you shouldn't worry about the religion of other people. What their religious beliefs are, don't break your leg or pick your pocket. That was his line. But that really became one of the first modern sound bites because his critics said, well, if we accept what Jefferson is saying, then we have no shared moral framework and then the whole country's going to fall apart. They're not going to break our legs or pick our pockets. The country is going to fall into decay. What's really interesting, though, is that Jefferson's supporters also referred to his book. I found stories in my book of his supporters standing up at town halls and reading from his book, citing it by page number and saying, this is not somebody who's an atheist. This is somebody who just wants religion and politics to be kept separate. So you had one book right at the center of the campaign. One side saw it one way, one side saw it the other.
And then that first legacy book, John Adams, you said that it was extraordinarily personal and pathologically petty. You said that he went to war with his enemies, marshaling a nasty intimacy that any score settler could admire.
Sure. You could apply that description to a lot of more recent political memoirs, but I mean that John Adams was doing the same thing. He was somebody who had lost the presidency. He went home. He was frustrated. He felt like history hadn't given him a fair shake. And so his answer was to write about it. And because Adams was a very emotional person and a very eloquent person, he wrote these amazing zingers about Alexander Hamilton or Thomas Paine. And, you know, the same arguments that we would see today were happening back then, and they were happening in books.
And I was also surprised by the model of both a pre-campaign book and a post-presidential book. Calvin Coolidge, a president that is considered sort of taciturn, very few words.
Sure. There's this idea of silent Cal, but really what made him such an effective candidate and what made him a huge celebrity when he left the White House was the opposite. It was his words. And so he had a book that really helped him when he ran for president. It made him vice president.
Segment 1.
The author of Author in Chief is historian Craig Fairman. Craig, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
We're all used to the cycle now that before a campaign, there's the pre-campaign book as candidates try to introduce themselves and shape their own narratives. Every Democratic candidate, leading Democratic candidate, had a book out before the campaign. And then if they are elected after the presidency, they have their post-presidential legacy book, trying to shape their own legacy. Big blockbusters, big advances. But this isn't anything new, as you write. This goes back to the founding fathers.
That's absolutely right. The first campaign book was actually written by Thomas Jefferson. The first legacy book was written by John Adams. So in a sense, the history of presidents as writers is as old as the history of America itself.
Segment 2.
And you write that Thomas Jefferson not only wrote the first pre-campaign book was also the first to be dogged by a paper trail.
Well, it caused him a lot of trouble during the election of 1800. He wrote passages about religion and why, you know, if you're living in America, you shouldn't worry about the religion of other people. What their religious beliefs are, don't break your leg or pick your pocket. That was his line. But that really became one of the first modern sound bites because his critics said, well, if we accept what Jefferson is saying, then we have no shared moral framework and the whole country's going to fall apart. They're not going to break our legs or pick our pockets. The country's going to fall into decay. What's really interesting, though, is that Jefferson's supporters also referred to his book. I found stories in my book of his supporters standing up at town halls and reading from his book, citing it by page number and saying, this is not somebody who's an atheist. This is somebody who just wants religion and politics to be kept separate. So you had one book right at the center of the campaign. One side saw it one way. One side saw it the other.
Segment 3.
And then that first legacy book, John Adams, you said that it was extraordinarily personal and pathologically petty. You said that he went to war with his enemies, marshaling a nasty intimacy that any score settler could admire.
Sure. You could apply that description to a lot of more recent political memoirs, but I mean that John Adams was doing the same thing. He was somebody who had lost the presidency. He went home. He was frustrated. He felt like history hadn't given him a fair shake. And so his answer was to write about it. And because Adams was a very emotional person and a very eloquent person, he wrote these amazing zingers about Alexander Hamilton or Thomas Paine. And, you know, the same arguments that we would see today were happening back then, and they were happening in books.
Segment 4.
And I was also surprised by the model of both a pre-campaign book and a post-presidential book. Calvin Coolidge, a president that is considered sort of taciturn, very few words.
Sure. There's this idea of silent Cal, but really what made him such an effective candidate and what made him a huge celebrity when he left the White House was the opposite. It was his words. And so he had a book that really helped him when he ran for president. It made him vice president.